Hello, this is Yvette Francino from Search Software Quality, here with Lisa Crispin, co-author of Agile Testing, talking today about distributed Agile. Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
So, Lisa, you've worked on several distributed Scrum teams yourself. Let's start first with one you're on now. What is the configuration on that? How many people are there and where are they located?
Well, we have 10 people total on our team, including the developers, testers, DBA, sysadmins, a manager, and a product owner. And most of us are located in Denver, but one of our developers, who actually used to be our manager, is located now in India. And our DBA works from home 2 or 3 days a week. The system administrators also sometimes work from home. So it's pretty flexible.
Do you still have your daily Scrum meetings?
Yeah, we have our Scrum every morning at 9:30, and our colleague in India calls in with his on Skype. We have a little telepresence device set up for him with a laptop so that we can see him, he can see us. We have a really good webcam that he can control, and we have a good microphone. So it's as if he's in the room. We can see him and hear him, and he can see and hear us. And that works out very well. It's very natural and makes the stand-up go really well.
And does he work then U.S. hours normally, or does he just work hours so that he has that overlapping time to have this Scrum meeting?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what his whole schedule is, but he does try to overlap with our morning. So he's 12 and a half hours ahead of us. So he works late into the night so that he can overlap with our morning.
And does your team decide ahead of time what hours everybody's going to be on IM, or do you have any kind of communication plan that allows you to know when your different teammates are going to be available?
We don't have a real formal one, but it's sort of understood that, we do have a telecommuting policy, but I wouldn't say people look at it every day and make sure they're following it, but it's a small team, so it's pretty understood that if you are working from home or working remotely, I work a lot of times when I'm traveling, and it's understood that you'll be available on IM or available by phone or Skype when people need you, and so we do stay in close communication.
And even when people are traveling, then are they expected to call in to the Scrum meeting?
It just depends. I mean, if people go on vacation, no, but a lot of times if I'm at a conference, I won't always call into the Scrum, but I may work some of the day, and so then I can just keep in touch with people via instant messaging and phone if I need to.
Okay. So would you say it's working well, that this team, and are there issues with the distributed environment?
Yeah, it's actually working better than we thought. When our manager first announced he was moving back to India, we thought, oh gosh, we're going to take a terrible productivity hit from having him in India. And we actually tried to divide our code base into components, thinking that might make it easier, but that proved to be too hard to do. But we have learned to coordinate it, and it's really a question of discipline and making sure that we work on communication. You have to work extra hard on communication in a situation like this. And so we just make sure that at our stand-up we talk about, does Nanda in India, does he have enough to do tomorrow, because his tomorrow will come before ours. And if he doesn't, then we make sure that by the end of the day we've gotten something to him that he with enough information that he knows what to do. And our product owner helps with that too. Sometimes a product owner will get with him on the phone late at night our time, which is the morning, Nanda's time, and so then they can talk about a story. The downside to that is if the two of them talk, then they're not involving one of us testers in that, and we always like to have that sort of power of three, as my co-author Janet Gregory calls it, where we want to have a product owner, a developer, and a tester always having that conversation. But they're good about updating the wiki or letting us know in the stand-up the next day what they might have talked about. And it's just extra discipline. On our task board, we have written a note to ourselves, does Nanda know about it? And so making sure that anything that happens, we make sure to tell him. And then also with our DBA, because he works from home, we have to work extra hard, and so does he, to make sure that we're communicating properly and he's always available when he's not in the office, because, of course, the DBA, that's a really important function. And he really makes an extra effort. You know, today he was fixing to leave for the day because he lives quite far away and he can get stuck in traffic. And I was having an issue, and he said, oh, let me wait and make sure that this issue is resolved before I leave. So people make an extra effort to make sure it works. And, you know, every so often there's a miscommunication, and we might waste some time. But I think we also get a benefit, because if we have a problem at the end of the day, we can kind of pass that along to Nanda, because he can look at it before we get back in the morning. And sometimes that helps us run a little more smoothly. We kind of get a round-the-clock look at what's going on. And the other surprising thing is that even production support issues can be handled by Nanda from Italy. So I think we've really grown a lot over the past 2 years in learning how to do this well.
Uh-huh. Well, so you've been on other teams, too, and I'm curious about a lot of times if there's a situation like this where some people, in your case, it's everyone but one is in one location, and you have one remote person. Other times, you know, there's little pockets of people in different places, or maybe multiple people that are remote, and then a group that's in a home office or something. One thing that I've always been curious about is whether it's more productive to have everyone, like, calling in on a conference call so that everyone is equal, versus having the people that are co-located meet together and then, you know, conference in a remote person. What are your thoughts on that?
I've done it both ways, and I do see the advantages of calling in. But at the company where I worked last year, it was interesting because the conference call service that they had, sometimes it actually made it harder to hear people, which I know sounds counterintuitive, but it just happened that service didn't always work well. So, you know, we just had to experiment with what works the best. It can be difficult if you don't have a good microphone in a conference room where you've got most of the group gathered. Then the person on the phone, you know, the remote people can't hear, and that's not okay. So if you are going to go the route of having everybody in one room, you have to make sure you have really high-quality equipment so that the audio is good enough quality. And if you're using a web camera, then you need to have a really good quality camera as well. So it's really important. And if you don't have that technology, then I think it would be better to find a good, reliable conference service and have everybody be on the phone. Somebody the other day on Twitter mentioned that they'd had a really great result with having everybody on WebEx to do a sprint review. So everybody called into the phone and used WebEx, and they would do the sprint review that way, and it worked really well. So we've got so much technology at our disposal, and I think it's just a question of what works best for your team. And like you say, there's so many different configurations of a distributed team, you know, where everybody works from home, or where you have a group in Europe and a group in Japan and a group in India, you know, or there can be, or a test team one place and a development team the next. So I think there's so many different configurations. You really have to just experiment and see what works best.
Right. So Nanda, was she living in the U.S. first? So your team had a relationship with him from a face-to-face point of view before he was in India. Is that correct?
Absolutely. He'd been with the company for 6 years and was really our most senior developer and knew the business inside and out as well as the software. So we didn't have the problem that a lot of people would have with somebody so far away of having to train him on our domain, which is quite difficult, and training him on our software. And so we knew that was a big advantage with having him work remotely. And if we were going to hire somebody new in a remote location, we would have to have them come probably to our headquarters and spend time with us to ramp up before we could kind of cast them off on their own. And the teams I know that, you know, where people really are separated new people join remotely, they do invest time in having the face-to-face contact. Maybe when starting a new project, bring everybody together for the first week or the first month or something, just so everybody can get to know each other and to trust each other and establish communication. Because if you can't train the people and you can't really get that bond going, I just don't think it's going to work.
Right. All right. Well, any parting thoughts for our listeners, Lisa?
Well, I think there are downsides to having distributed teams in terms of extra overhead, extra communication. It can be a loss of productivity. But on the other hand, what I see is that if you don't limit yourself to one geographical area to hire the best employees, you can sometimes really get some talent that may not be available locally where your company is. And so I think that could be a big advantage, because to me, the most important thing to make a team successful is the people, no matter where they're located. So if you have really great people, they're going to make it work.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Lisa.
All right. Thank you, Yvette.